Good morning, a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. We've been watching over the weekend the cases of coronavirus rise in the U.S., more than 500 now cases, and deaths in Italy are now surging. We're seeing literally a quarter of the population being restricted in Italy. Ships cannot dock, for example, in Venice. We're seeing Asian markets plunge. The State Department is telling Americans to avoid cruise ships. The CDC warning the elderly and sick being at risk, and that it's here, it's making its way around, and people have to take serious precautions now. And the question of whether, for example, Trump should continue his rallies, and what happens with the campaigns for president, and, you know, are we all going to end up in isolation at some point?
David, it's a national nightmare. It's a universal nightmare. This thing is spreading like crazy. I am sure they'll come up with answers in terms of antiviral medicine or injections to make sure you don't get it. All of those things are coming. Right now, they're not here. So what happens if one person in a big business gets the virus? Does the business close down? Does everybody have to go home? I mean, how much telecommunications can there be? And so it's a massive nightmare. It's something that clearly we were not really ready for, nor had we thought out. And I do believe that we're going to have to make all kinds of accommodations now so that somebody's going to have to say, okay, this is how you run that business, or this is what you do. You can't close down the entire country. Northern Italy is basically closed down, or at least that's what people would believe. Now, bosses can allow people who work for them some relief, but what happens if they're independent contractors? They don't get that. And people have got to be fed. People are preparing. There are no more masks. There's no more supplies that go into these kinds of protections. And people are making out like bandits, charging a lot of money for them. In the meantime, the styles of different people handling this is very different. For example, Trump's talking about an uncle and how he's a genius and how he, Trump, is a genius, but in fact goes back and forth between the whole thing was a Democratic hoax intended to get him. So as you suggest, what happens at a Trump rally? Are these the end of Trump rallies? If it's a matter of winning re-election or subjecting people in a rally to getting this terrible disease, what do you think he's going to do? All of a sudden, the government is saying what I've been saying. What, are you crazy to get on a cruise ship? Now the government itself is actually saying, don't get on a cruise ship, especially if you're compromised in one way or another. We see the kind of agony and terror that these people are going through. One guy I saw on the television saying, because he had been quarantined in the ship, he had run out of the medicines that he regularly takes. Can't be helping, that's for sure.
Contrast that with the style, for example, of Governor Cuomo. He's been on every single day. Now we're under a declared state of emergency in New York. The latest numbers over 100 with the coronavirus. The way a leader handles the situation goes a lot to how the people respond, right?
David, I wrote a column in which I basically extolled Cuomo. Now, you know me well enough to know that if I think Cuomo's doing something wrong, I say so. Mm-hmm. But he has really distinguished himself this time. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. He stands up. He gives press conferences a couple of times a day. He gives the latest information. He doesn't compromise. He just tells everybody what's going on. And there's nothing more that you can do. You know, David, the problem here is that we don't really have any answers. It would be easy enough to say, okay, we know about wash your hands and don't touch your face and staying home. But everybody who has a cough, everybody who has the flu, is going to think they have the virus. So there's a certain kind of panic that exists, and that's what we don't want to have, but we don't know how to avoid it. By the way, the governor of California is also doing a good job. There's a good style. This is falling upon the governors, and it does not make Trump look good by comparison.
And then there's Pence. I'm not sure I've even seen him speak on the issue.
Well, Pence gets up there with that crew, some of whom are terrific people and very, very knowledgeable, and they don't hesitate to contradict him when he needs it. It's very tough because we know the style of this administration is if somebody says something you don't like, you fire him.
Well, who are we going to hire for a vice presidential candidate? We heard over the weekend that Kamala Harris, someone you and I have talked about as a potential vice presidential candidate, has endorsed Joe Biden. But the choice, as many people are saying, even an article in the Times today that says Democrats eye a vice presidential consolation prize for women, but some cringe at settling for silver after spending a year competing hard for the gold.
Well, yeah. Look, Kamala Harris, to me, makes a great deal of sense. But what do I know? I'm not up front and close. And, you know, she happens to be of color. She happens to be a woman. She's on the other end of the country from either Biden or Sanders. And she's well known. And the other thing is, if she moves to the Senate, the governor gets to appoint, right? So that you have a Democratic governor. In some cases, you have a Republican governor. So while some people think that the senior senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, who has just lost out in a bid for to be president, would be a superb vice presidential candidate, but she is not from the other side of the country. She's very, very brilliant, we know that, and very bright. And you have a Republican governor who appoints her successor. Now, I suppose that there could be some kind of an agreement on that, but in the meantime, to me, Harris is looking better and better. The other problem with this is that you have to have chemistry. We know that the president and the vice president should probably have something in common. We saw that with Obama and Joe Biden. On the other hand, I can give you lots of examples where that didn't exist. Certainly, Lyndon Johnson and John F. Kennedy, by all reports, hated each other, or certainly disliked each other. And then we saw Harry Truman, who the president had hardly spoken to. Roosevelt had hardly spoken to. So sometimes it's done for political reasons. Sometimes it's done because it will help. I think that's why Biden was chosen by Obama.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. Needless to say, stay safe out there, everyone.
Be careful. Wash your hands. Do what you need to do. Talk to you soon.